morning, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. I've been asked to do the talk this morning, which is what I'm going to get on with in just a moment. And it's going to be following on from a talk I gave back in September about the goodness of God. So let's pray and ask God to speak to us now. Father, we thank you that you are with us. We thank you that we can call you Father, and we thank you that as a good Father, you have good gifts to give us. And we pray for the gift of revelation, of truth, the gift of life through the words of your Bible and your truth. Pray that you speak to our hearts now. We ask that in Jesus' name. So I was busy decorating Jessica's bedroom, painting it a lovely shade of rosebud pink this week. And I thought I'd listen to some music because I did that. So I put on my favourite Christian band of all time, Switchfoot. And I decided to listen to an album of theirs, which was released about 5 years ago and wasn't one that I'd really listened to. So I put it on, and one of the songs on that album really jumped out at me. And it was one of those moments where I could really feel the truth of God just being kind of downloaded into my heart. And that's often the way for me. God speaks to me through songs and through music. I'm sure that is the same for a lot of you as well. And so I decided I would do this talk based on the song, because there's so much in it, I can't even really get into it all in the next sort of 20 minutes or so. But we're going to try and pick out the main points of this song. And one of the other reasons I chose to do this talk this way was because I gave a talk back in September about the goodness of God and how we need to really contend for and hold on to that truth in our hearts, that God really is good and he really loves us. And that's kind of what the song's about. So just a bit of a recap then on the previous talk that I gave. It was really a study of Genesis and creation in Genesis 1 and a bit about the fall in Genesis 3. And the main point that I really drew out was that since the fall and since human beings believed the lie of the devil, we found it very difficult to see God as perfectly good, as perfectly trustworthy, to view God as someone who really has our best intentions at heart all the time. And the reason for this is because that was the lie that the devil told Adam and Eve in the first place. When he started questioning as to whether they should eat the fruit, he basically said that God was lying to them, that they wouldn't die if they ate the fruit, as God had said, and that God was trying to keep something really good from them. In fact, God was trying to keep the best thing from them, that if they ate this fruit, they would have this thing, this knowledge, they would be like God. And that God was actually being kind of stingy and dishonest and trying to keep the best thing in his creation from them. So Satan was actually painting this picture of God as someone who was a liar, someone who couldn't be trusted, and someone who didn't want the best things for them. So since Adam and Eve believed that lie, human beings have been believing it ever since. And our enemy, the devil, has still been trying to feed us that lie. So that's one reason why it's really difficult to keep in our hearts and our minds this idea that God is just perfect and perfectly good and perfectly good towards us. Another two reasons also came from the fall. We said last time that when God created everything, it's like he was setting out the world in preparation for the human beings that he would make. He was making it for them, in a sense. And when he made everything, he said it was good. When he made the trees, they were good. When he made the sea, the land, the animals, it was all good. And that word good in the Bible is the word tob, which means agreeable to the senses. This isn't some kind of spiritualized version of the word good where we can't really understand what that means. It means practically agreeable to our human senses. So, i.e., God made everything so that we would enjoy it and it would be good to us. In our opinion, it would be very good. And when the fall happened, obviously nature took a huge hit. The curse came upon nature. Thorns sprung out of the ground. Decay came. Animals started turning on each other and killing each other. Microbes, bacteria, viruses, disease came into nature. So when we look at nature now, it's not this mirror of the goodness of God that God intended it to be, that it was at the start. It's become like this sort of dirty mirror. There's so much blackness and darkness in it that it's hard to see sometimes God in the nature. Nature has lost that good sort of heading that God gave it originally. Obviously, we still see some goodness in it, a lot of goodness at times, but it is essentially marred. And then humankind, again, when God made humankind and he'd made everything, he said it was very good. And he said he'd made us in his image. We were perfect. Adam could look at Eve and see a reflection of what God looked like, and vice versa. They could even look at themselves into their own hearts and see only purity, only goodness. And again, that was this obvious mirror of God. Everywhere they looked, they saw God. They saw the goodness, the perfection of God. And we've definitely lost that in ourselves and in our human relationships, haven't we? So often our human relationships are broken, they're strained, we hurt one another, and it's hard sometimes to see God there. So there's all these reasons. There's nature, there's human relationships, and there's the fact we have an enemy who lies to us about this, that make it really hard for us to hold on to this simple truth that God is good and he is for us. So what I'd like to do is flick over to the song. I'm going to just sing the song and play it on guitar. And then what I'd like to do is just to break down the song a little bit and just see if we can be encouraged.
Comes like an enemy soldier. I feel the weight across my shoulders. I feel the shadows getting colder. But that ain't you. This noose ain't getting any looser. Get so fearful about the future. I hear the shame of my accuser. But that ain't you. And I found strength, but it wasn't what I thought. I found peace in the places I forgot. I found riches in the things that I had bought. Yeah, I found out the day I lost myself was the day that I found God. I get caught chasing my own illusions, and I get so lost in these confusions. I keep on looking for my own solutions. But that ain't you. That ain't you. No, my enemies weren't the ones that I had. And my liberties were the freedoms I had sought. And what I learned were the lessons I'd been taught. I found out the day I lost myself was the day that I found God. Where is just got out in the darkness. 'Cause the voices in my head ain't been talking honest, saying maybe he made us and then forgot us. But that ain't that ain't you, no. All I know is that I still don't know a lot. I don't know how it ends. I'm in the middle of this plot. And I found grace for the man that I am not. Yeah, I found out the day I lost myself. Day that I found God.
Okay, so the two main themes of that song, the song is called The Day That I Found God, and that's kind of one of the themes. The first theme that really stuck out to me about the song was the line that's repeated where the singer John Foreman sings, "That ain't you." You'll have to forgive the sort of American English there. "That isn't you," you could say if you prefer. But he says "that ain't you" a lot. And he remembers in this song the things that God isn't. He remembers the way that God isn't. The way his negative experiences would maybe to suggest to him that God is, keeps reminding himself that that's not the way God is. God isn't like that. And the second theme of the song is, like the title says, the day that I found God. And he says, the day I lost myself was the day that I found God. So we're going to look at these two themes. And I want to look at verse one of the song first of all and just pull out some of the lyrics, because I think they're quite poignant to the situation we find ourselves in at the moment in this country and in the world during the COVID pandemic. So the song starts with the line, "The morning comes like an enemy soldier. I feel the weight upon my shoulders. I feel the darkness getting colder, the shadows getting colder. But that ain't you." And I think at the moment we can relate to that, a lot of us. You know, the day arrives and it can feel like an enemy soldier marching towards us sometimes. We feel like we don't want to get out of bed. We don't want to go through the same drudgery, face the same old restrictions, maybe the same old worries and fears about the virus. We feel like there's this weight over us. We feel like there's just this shadow over our lives at the moment. And there's a bit of a danger as well, because there's a phrase that's been kind of going around called the new normal. And I think that that's slightly dangerous, because if we buy into it too much, that this is normal, what we're experiencing, then it's not a big jump to kind of accept that, well, if this is normal, then this is just the way God wants it to be. You know, he's there. It's been going on for a year now. Things haven't changed too much. Maybe this is just normal. This is the way God wants it to be. We've got to be really careful about this, because although God allows negative things to happen and bad things to happen, and he's in control, so he does allow things to happen, it doesn't mean that God is actively doing these things. It doesn't mean that God wants them. It doesn't mean that they are God's heart. And in the first verse of this song, John Foreman's reminding himself that when he wakes up in the morning and the day feels like an enemy and there's a weight on his shoulders and there's the shadows all around him, even though God's allowed those things aren't God. God isn't doing those things to John Foreman. It isn't who God is. And how do we know? We know God's not an enemy soldier, because the Bible tells us he is for us and not against us. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is our helper. He's our standby. He's our advocate. He's the warrior God who fights our battles for us, and that he's got plans to prosper us, not to harm us, to give us hope and a future. That's God's heart. That's God's heart for us. How do we know that the weight that we feel maybe at the moment isn't of God? Because Jesus said, come to me, you who are burdened, and I'll give you rest. And he said that my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And how do we know that the shadows we feel in these days haven't come from God? Because the Bible says that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. So how on earth could darkness and dark things come forth from someone who is pure light and who the Bible tells us has no darkness in him at all? We need to be careful that when we've lived in such a dark context for so long, that we don't start to believe that this darkness has come from God, that God somehow wants disease, and God somehow wants darkness, and God somehow wants families kept apart. Yes, God is in control and God is allowing these things to happen, but it doesn't mean that God wants them to happen. And there's a big difference there. And we need to be really careful, or else we'll end up believing that lie that the enemy told Adam and Eve in the first place, that God doesn't have our best intentions, that God isn't really to be trusted. So that's the first verse. And John Foreman, the writer of the song, is reminding himself, although there's shadows and there's darkness and there's a weight and there's an enemy, that isn't God. That ain't you, God. And I want to just jump forward to the bridge of the song to look at a few more of the lyrics here, because they kind of fit in with the first verse. And John Foreman again writes, where is God out in the darkness? The voices in my head ain't talking honest. Maybe he made us and then forgot us. But that ain't you. So for some of us, maybe at the moment, it feels like God's just stepped back. He's taken a step back from what's going on. He's letting it happen. And it's a bit like he's made us and then he's forgotten us. The non-interventionist God kind of viewpoint. Maybe we're asking, where are you, God? Why is this happening? Why aren't you doing something? Where are you in this? And I suppose I've asked those questions a little bit myself. And if you find yourself, you know, in this pandemic asking those questions, I want to encourage you, instead of asking the questions where and why, maybe ask the questions who and what. Instead of asking, where are you, God? Why is this happening, God? Ask, who are you, God, and what are you like? So instead of where and why, we should ask who and what. Why should we ask these questions? Well, these are questions that God will always answer when we ask with a sincere heart. He hasn't always promised to answer the why questions. My son Sam is 3 years old at the moment, and he asks a lot of why questions. And when he asks these questions, you know, it's his curiosity and things, but he doesn't need to know the answer to all of these questions, and we don't either. And actually, Sam's incapable of understanding the why questions a lot of the time. And so are we when we ask God. We can't always understand why. But what God gives us, instead of the answer to the why question, he gives us the answer to the who question. He's more than eager to tell us who he is in the situation, because that hasn't changed. And he's more than willing to answer the question, what are you like, God? Because he shows us through the Bible, it's just this treasure trove of knowledge and revelation of who God is and what he's like. So when we actually realize afresh, like I did when I heard this song this week, who God actually is and what he's like, and that he is so lovely and he's still on the throne and he hasn't changed and he's so for us and he's our good loving father, then the why questions begin to feel less important, often completely unimportant. And the where question of where God is in all of this is answered, because we realize again that he's with us. He's right next to us. So those are kind of two areas of the song that really relevant to the COVID pandemic in a general sense. But I just want to look at some of the words from the song that are actually really quite poignant on a personal level. And I think it's the second verse of the song where John Foreman talks about hearing the accuser, the words of his accuser and the shame of his accuser, and he feels the noose around his neck isn't getting any looser. And maybe this is something that kind of resonates with you this morning, that maybe in these times of difficulty, there's been maybe a lot of introspection and you get a bit too caught up in your own head and isolated, and you hear these voices in there that maybe you think yourself, just saying that you're not good enough, or that you're not doing enough for God, or that you've sinned in this way or that. But you know, the Bible tells us that the accuser, the devil, stands before God day and night, making a habit and a point of accusing all of God's children to God. This is like his pastime. He stands there accusing us before God, pointing out all our faults, pointing out all our failures, wanting God to get us on something. And I've experienced that plenty of times, probably experience it daily. But actually, that's not God. That ain't you, as John Foreman writes. What's God's take on this? Well, he's not the one accusing you. He's not the one accusing me. In Romans 8, it says something so powerful, a lot of powerful things in Romans 8, and this is one of them. And it's on the subject of the accuser. And Paul writes in Romans 8 verse 33, who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? Who dares? Like, how dare Satan stand before God accusing us of all of our failures and all of the wrong things we've done? How dare he do that? Because God has chosen us for his own. And if we're still a little bit like, well, yeah, but, you know, God is still a holy God and he still sees our sins, and, you know, what if Jesus really is pointing out all of the ways I fail and the things that I do wrong? Well, this passage of the Bible gives us the answer to that as well, because it says, who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us the right standing with himself. And it goes on to say, who will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And get this bit, he's sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. So there's one who's accusing us, the enemy, telling God all the ways we've failed and all the ways we've sinned. There's someone else standing there and he's pleading our case before God. So why on earth would Jesus accuse us and condemn us when he's the one who's pleading our case? It would be like a defense lawyer defending someone and prosecuting them at the same time. It doesn't make any sense, but I'm aware that Satan, when he accuses us, he would like to tell us that that's the way God sees us, that's what God's saying about us, and it's just a downright lie. So, I hear the shame of my accuser, John Foreman writes, but that ain't you, that isn't you. So, we come to the title of the song itself, which is The Day That I Found God, and I just want to unpack this a little bit in closing. Jonathan Mark Foreman, the lead singer of Switchfoot, he was about 40 years old when he recorded this song. And at this point, he was a successful, world-renowned songwriter, Christian singer and musician. He'd written 10 albums and released 10 critically acclaimed albums. And just whoever's listened to Switchfoot would tell you that just profound understanding of who God is, and just a real passion for God is just evident in that music. And yet in this one song, and the words of this song, John describes himself as weighed down, fearful, chasing his own illusions, looking for his own solutions, wondering where God is, uncertain about the future, admitting that he doesn't know much, admitting that he's misinformed, that he's believed the wrong things. This is a guy who's been a Christian 2 or 3 decades, been a very successful person at sort of spreading the gospel through music. And when he takes an honest look at himself, these are the things he sees. But when he does that, he also finds something wonderful as well. He finds, as he writes towards the end of the song, grace for the man that I am not. I found grace for the man that I am not. I found out the day I lost myself was the day that I found God. And this is the other central theme of the song, and the theme that really stood out to me, along with this idea of the things that God isn't and how we need to view God correctly, the theme that we need to view ourselves honestly. And when we actually admit to God that we can't be the good person that we were supposed to be, that we are broken, that we are flawed, that we do still need him and his grace, we lose ourselves, we lose all our trying and our effort. We find God, because it's in that position that we're able to see that God is still the good God that he was at the very beginning. And though nature has changed and been marred by the fall, and human beings have changed and been marred by the fall, God is still the exact same God who created everything good, who created us in his good image. And he's the one who we can rely on still, to this day and every day. So, I hope that's encouraging. And I hope you have a good day and a good week. Let's just close with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for these reminders that you give us of the truth of who you are, that you are still God, you are still a good, good Father who loves us, who created us, and that though the world has become chaotic and the world has been so poisoned with darkness, you still shine your light and you are still the same. And I thank you also, Lord Jesus, that it's not always going to be like this. That you bring hope, you bring future restoration. We just ask you that we would see you as the real, true, wonderful, beautiful God that you are today, tomorrow, and always. In Jesus' name, amen.